Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. Thank you, George. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. So Lindsay Lohan is going to be in Kettering. 0844 499 1000. Here's the news.
Late What's night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Fired off the wrong bed. That confused me. Right, we'll start again. Don't worry. Here we go. Boris Johnson. There's Boris Johnson coming in for the end. There we go. Thank you, Boris. So, that's Love. That's Boris Johnson. Hang on a second. Yeah, thank you. So, that's Love, who I'm seeing tomorrow in Southampton. Here's the weird thing, guys. Right, 0844 499 1000, by the way. We call you back. Well, someone will call you back. Christ knows who. I don't know who anybody is working on the show this evening. They're all strangers. They're all better looking than me. It's incredibly intimidating. But don't let that panic you. Let it panic me. I will deal with it. And we may get to meet these people throughout the show. We'll see. We'll see. So tomorrow I'm going to Southampton to see Love. Remember we had Johnny Eccles on from Love? They're like this 60s band and their main man was Arthur Lee, who was nuts and is now dead. But Johnny Eccles from the original band and then his kind of backing band are going to be doing a tour. I'm going to go and see them in Southampton. I'm going on my own to see them. And I like doing things on my own because I'm lonely. I like going to the cinema on my own and going to, you know, for meals on my own and stuff like that. I like that. 0844 499 1000. But going to bands on my own is weird. Going to bands on my own when it's stand-up bands. You know what I mean by stand-up bands? When it's not, if you go, the older I get, the less stand-up bands I go to. In fact, oh, I can remember the last stand-up band I went to. You know what I mean by stand-up band? It's where you stand up as opposed to going to see them in, you know, like the Royal Albert Hall or something, where you sit down, unless it's the Proms, in which case you stand up. That's what Proms is, promenade, right? 0844 499 1000. Tommy, Alan, John, stay there. Come to you shortly, guys. The last stand-up band I went to see... Do you remember Scott, who's listening on the radio? He's not actually here. Was the Crosby, Stills and Nash tribute band at the back of some boozer in, I don't know where, like west of, they were near, in Uxbridge. Something like that. And it was only a stand-up band because we got there a bit late and we didn't sit down. We got told off for talking. If you've ever been told off for talking at a gig, 08444991000, I got told off for talking at the Eagles, and I didn't even want to talk at the Eagles. I was furious because the person I was going with to see the Eagles, he said he had the tickets. He said, "I'll meet you there. I'll be coming from work. I'll meet you there." So we missed the support act, who were the Dixie Chicks, who at the time meant nothing to me. Now it's like, oh man, I missed the Dixie Chicks, one of the greatest groups ever. And we got there, and the Eagles were playing. And we sat down just as they finished a song. They went, "Thanks very much. We'll be back after this break." We'd missed the entire first half. And that ticket cost me about 90 quid. And then this bloke who I was peed off with was talking to me. And someone behind us went, "Could you be quiet, please?" And they did that line that they always do when someone's being too loud at gigs. "I came to hear the band, not you two. Up yours, Dolores," I thought. So I'm going to go and see At Love tomorrow in Southampton on my own. First of all, I don't know anything about Southampton. So I'm after Southampton tips. Southampton tips. I've been there once. I did a gig there once at a place. But I didn't get a chance to see any of the town or any of that. I can't imagine... Oh, it's Canada Day, by the way, guys. Everybody aware of that? We're all celebrating Canada Day. Great stuff. I don't know anything about Southampton. So if you any tips, but my plan is I want to find out what time the band go on. I'm going to get in there like 2 minutes before, see the band. I'm hoping I get to go backstage and meet the band and get a few photographs and then go home. And it's just going to a stand-up band. Do you know what I mean, Miriam? Going to a stand-up band on your own is weird.
I probably wouldn't go by myself.
Yeah, well, I have to go by myself because the only two people I could ask to go have told me to get stuffed.
I've not called you before, so I'm a little nervous.
But don't be nervous. I mean, it's talking about going to see stand-up bands. That's not
true.
It's not anything to be. When was the last time you went to see a band, Miriam?
I don't like people, so
Miriam, no, you speak my language. I can't stand those guys.
I can't remember the last thing I went to. I do actually.
Go on.
I went to see the Doctor Who. Orchestra last year. That was good, but I only went because I really liked the music and Doctor Who.
The Doctor Who Orchestra?
Yeah, so all the music from Doctor Who.
Beautiful!
By,
Royal Albert Hall?
No. Wembley Arena.
Wembley Arena. Here's an interesting thing. While I'm talking to you, I'm flicking away with my computer.
Sure.
And my I've got iTunes up, okay? Because I play all the music off of iTunes or YouTube, right? And I was going to play this, right? There's a bit of a musical bed for us.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a weird thing. This is going to sound so weird, right? That you know? Do you know iTunes? Are you aware of iTunes?
Well, I hate Apple, but my husband loves it.
You don't like a lot of things, do you? And I respect that.
I'm quite miserable.
Good. I respect it. I'm on your side. well, you get like a little fader on there for the volume. It's like a little ball, and you drag it along, and it extends or decreases the length of a line, and that is a visualization the volume, right? Well, the little line has got shorter. Somehow it's shortened, and there's a little box next to it. And if I click, it says I can either go to computer or Inel's MacBook Pro. What the? Who the hell is Inel? Why can I link to their MacBook Pro?
I cannot answer that because, as I say, Apple are rubbish.
Yeah.
And therefore I don't have a Mac. But I imagine that increase the volume outside
making this up, aren't you?
Yes,
literally just making it up. Well done.
Yes, well, the couple upstairs are making some noises, so it's a little off-putting to our conversation.
What are the couple upstairs doing? They're not...
Yes.
Really? Well, I suppose it is Friday. It's the first Friday of the month. Why?
It's payday.
It's payday. So they've hired hookers and bought cocaine. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, they were arguing before.
Oh.
And then it just got a little bit arguing.
What were they arguing about?
I don't know, but it was just loud voices.
About where to put it. And now they've decided and they're going to put it there.
Probably something like that.
Flipping,
it was probably a difficult decision.
How was the Doctor Who doodah then?
Oh, no, that was really good.
Yeah. Did you go on your own or with your husband?
My husband, my brother, my sister and my mum and two friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, we geeked it up together. No, it really was brilliant, actually. Listening to an orchestra live play the Doctor Who theme music is amazing, actually.
I've had some weird jobs, right, in my... Oh, wait, 444991000, by the way. John, Alan, Tommy, stay there, come to you in a bit. I've had some weird jobs in my time, right? And one of them was I had to... I don't know what the word would be. Compare is probably the wrong word, but I'm going to say it. I had to compare a gig. Gig is definitely the wrong word. By, mm-hmm. I think it was the London Philharmonic Orchestra. It was an orchestra that had the word London in the title.
Okay.
And they were playing music from video games.
Okay.
So I had to go on stage. They hired me because I'm a geek, right? And I had to go on stage and talk about video games and music and stuff. And then the band would... They got annoyed when I called them a band. They got really peed off with
snobby.
Me. Yeah, it is a bit snobby. I called them a band and they didn't like it. And then I had to go and have dinner with the head of the London... I'm going to say it was the London Philharmonic Orchestra, but I'm willing to be proved wrong. It was at the Royal Festival Hall, so it was legit. You know, it was a legit thing. But I can't remember why you made me talk about that, Miriam. Oh, it sounded amazing.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, that was it. Music. Yeah, yeah. And the orchestra, it sounded amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, there we go. What have you called in for, Miriam?
I've been meaning to call for ages.
Yeah.
I've listened to you for quite a while. And usually I'm asleep at this point, so I usually listen back. But I had two coffees today, so I'm not asleep yet. And I thought I would call. Am I the first caller?
Yeah, you're the first caller. You've beaten you've beaten Carrick. She's beaten you, Carrick.
Yay. Oh, hip, hip, hip.
Yeah, she beat you.
Hip, hip, hip. I forgot the hip, hip, hip. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Someone's saying that thing with my computer is Bluetooth. It's not. My Bluetooth is turned off, so I can't be picking up someone else's Bluetooth, can I?
You got a problem with the Mac again, Ian.
You'll have a problem with your nose in a minute, Caddick.
I can help you out with it, because I know about Mac. I can tell you what the problem is.
Don't talk about Macs in front of Miriam. She doesn't like them.
Hi, Caddick. Hi, Caddick.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Just thought I'd say hello.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, then.
Are we done, Miriam? That was a brilliant first call.
Well, my heart's racing a little bit.
Someone on there's loads of different talk radio Facebook pages, right? And the original one before Caddick steamed in and annoyed everybody by doing a little Brexit Facebook group. The original one, the talk radio listeners on Facebook. Someone, who's that?
Oh, I'm outside the pub.
There we go. Someone posted an excellent description of what it was like to phone in this radio show. It was a brilliantly written. Did you read it, Caddick?
No, I don't know, mate. Who's it from?
I don't know. Some loser. I'm joking. But it's
probably from a new caller Wednesday.
Well, it was a new caller, someone who never called before. He wasn't a loser. He wrote a brilliant piece on what it's like to phone up this show. And I'd never heard it detailed so well.
What did it say?
I can't remember.
That's not helpful.
The short answer is, I don't remember. The longer answer is, I'll find it and I will read it throughout the show.
Okay.
How's that? How's that then?
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Hey, Miriam, nice one. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Ta-ta.
Sorry, have a good show. Bye.
Bye-bye. 0844 499 1000. Caddick, stay there. I want a word with you.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. When you phone up, you won't speak to Catherine or Ed. They are, let's just say... Sorry? Let's just say that since Murdoch took over what is going to become Sky News Talk Corp Radio, some of the chaff has been cleaned out. So it's been great working with those guys, but instead it's a brand new team of David and Emma. And they got much better teeth than those other suckers. Alan, I heard a woman screaming. I hope you're not up to your usual shenanigans.
No, I'm out on the pub and it's karaoke night.
Of course it's karaoke night, Alan. What else would it be?
It is the start of the weekend.
It is the start. The weekend starts here. What was that? What was that? That was Ready, Steady, Go.
Ready, Steady, Go.
Ready, Steady, Go. Yes, it was.
A nice shashit from the 60s.
A nice shashit from the 60s.
Anyway, you want to say the word?
Well, no, not really. I was teasing the
That's
listener.
Rude, then.
No, I was teasing the listener over the break. So they would think, oh, am I listen over the break? I was going to switch off. But I'm going to listen over the break to see what word Ian wants to have with Caddick.
And then me thinking I'm going to get told off for something.
No, Alan. What could I tell you off for?
Well, I've waited a splinter group on talk on Facebook.
I am grateful that anybody would set up Facebook pages that would help promote this show. So, and it's created in fighting, which makes it even more delicious to watch from a distance, Alan.
Yeah, yes. And it's not just me. I've got a Fankin Wogan as well.
You got a Fankin Wogan?
I've got a thanks to Jim Wogan as well.
Okay.
He's another admin.
Yep, okay.
And the offer's still open for you to be an admin.
I don't want to.
Like I say, the offer's always open.
I don't want to be an admin on there. I'm an admin on a couple of pages that I run. And I'm also a 43-year-old married man. So me adminning Facebook pages is, you know?
We don't hear much about Fandango these days.
No.
Is he still well?
Hang on a second. I've got to turn up the headphones on Periscope. There we go. You should be able to hear now, Periscopers. What did you call in for, Alan?
I want a continuation on last night's book sign, because I got another memorable moment.
For those who have just tuned in, we spent nearly all of yesterday's show celebrating, saluting, and indeed doffing our caps to Brookside. So much so, Alan, that I had a dream last night, and it was better than Martin Luther King's dream, which, I'll be honest, was a little bit dull.
Yeah.
It was a dream that Brookside was still on, and I was watching it, and I remember thinking the line in my head, "Ooh, I'm going to make Brookside my thing." And then, and here's where it got weird, Alan. Here's where the dream part really kicked in.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I was in Brookside.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I was in it. But it wasn't a TV program. I was living Brookside.
Was you living at number 10?
I don't know what number I was. I don't know, but I just know that I was interacting with Barry Grant, and I kept thinking, "Oh, you're Barry Grant off the telly." Okay. 0844 499 1000. By the way, we don't have to. I've got interesting. There's a story in the papers about Coronation Street going six times a week. We might talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I got congratulations to Wales. And that's the only bit of football you'll get off me tonight.
It's boring. It was on in the office, and
well, it talks sport again.
Well, Talk Sport had it on, and then we've got David, who's producing, who's the new producer of the show, and Emma, who's the new Ed, because the other two got they got Murdoch'd. They got Murdoch'd. You could sense the disappointment because David was watching the football, and in the other people in the Talk Radio office were me and Rudd. Now, Rudd's a young lad who works on a lot of the shows, and he's brilliant, right? But neither of us are into football at all. I couldn't give a flying
monkey.
Yeah, thank you. And you could. I sensed from David he wanted, you know, he wanted to be in the Talk Sport office, hanging out with those guys, and because all those guys, of course, had their wangers out while the football was on. Every time a yeah. goal was scored, they'd slam a football book onto their wangers that were on the table. It was like it was like a drinking game, but it was wanger bashing.
Oh dear!
Yeah, yep.
Well, not good if you got a tiny one.
Well, no, not brilliant. It's slightly less painful if you've got a tiny one. I'm just trying to find. Hang on a minute. That's not what I'm after. What I'm after is a weird...
Baby!
That's still not what I'm after. Where is it? You know what I want. I want... I've really got to sort out these... Hotkeys. What I'm after is George, you're a fanny. But I can't find it.
What, George Galloway?
George, you're a fanny.
George, you're funny.
No, not funny. George, you're a fanny.
George, you're fanny.
No. George, you're a fanny.
George, you're funny.
Can you click that, please, and email it over? But I've actually got George Galloway saying that. That's the bit I'm trying to find, and I can't find it anywhere.
Why are you listening to Ian Lee? He's an idiot.
That's out of order.
He's a very good man.
Yeah, exactly. That is out. That is absolutely out of order. I'll have to find George or... hang on, is this
he looked like him, but I don't think so, is he?
No.
Thank you, Duncan.
No, I totally disagree with Sex with the Robots.
I love my fag.
God's taking his best to his heart because the end of the world's coming. And I say bring it on, man.
Night-night, everybody. Night-night.
Can't find it. Never mind.
Oh,
Did we get to the point of your clip, your call?
Not yet, because I've yet to tell you why I took my memorable moment from Brookside.
George, you're a fanny.
Found it.
That's the one.
Found it.
Yeah. my memorable moment was the incest storyline of 1996.
Oh, they did incest, didn't they? It was the last great taboo, incest. And it was ridiculous.
Oh, no. Winchester, I mean, it was too obvious.
We know what we know what incest is. We don't need to go into the graphic.
No, I'm just saying it was too obvious for the story writers to think of it.
Yeah, it was super. But were they brother and sister, or were they half brother and sister?
No, they were actually brother and sister.
Oh, it didn't have quite the same reaction as the lesbian kiss, did it?
But we weren't talking about that, nor everybody under the patio, because you said we couldn't talk about
George,
it.
George, you're a fanny.
There we go. We've got that clip, and if I can make it even... there we go. Well, Alan, thanks so much for getting us off on an incest tip.
I'll see you on Monday.
Night-night, everybody. Night-night.
Night-night, everybody. Night-night. John and Tommy, stay there. 0844-499-1000. This is the Ian Lee Show. It's Friday night. Oh, it could be tonight. Could be the last straight to air for a while. Although we might do it on Monday. So, in which case, in fact, let's make that a date, shall we? Tonight is the penultimate straight to air for a while, and I reserve the right to change my mind at any given time. What are we talking about this evening? Well, you know the rules. You can call in and talk about anything, really. We've touched on Brookside again. Going to gigs on your own, standing up gigs primarily, sitting down gigs don't really count as gigs. I haven't stood for a gig since the Crosby, Stills and Nash Tribute Act. They were weird, right? They started off the first half. Well, I thought the first half was going to be like the bands that they were in before Crosby, Stills and Nash. So you got your Buffalo Springfield,
your birds and your hollies, and I'd have liked that. But instead they chose to do all birds songs. That was it. They just focused on the birds. And they were excellent. They were excellent, but it was a little bit soulless. And then they went into their Crosby, Stills and Nash, and that was awesome. But before the last stand-up gig before that, God, I haven't got a clue. I mean, years ago, the idea of listening to, I need to get some ear defenders, because the idea, it used to be a measure, didn't it, of a good night was how deaf you were that night and the next day. And if you, I remember going to see Love with Arthur Lee 22 years ago and walking home in the middle of the road, absolutely off my nut on booze. And my ears were just ringing and it was like, yeah, that has been what can only be described as a good night. And the same, now my ears ring all the flipping time because I used to go to gigs where I'd let my ears ring and that would be considered a good night. So the thought of standing for an hour and a half and being deaf afterwards no longer fills me with pleasure. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ian Lee.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good evening, Tommy.
Good evening.
Who's? Hang on a minute. I heard two voices. Is it Tommy and your sister?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
sister older or younger than you?
Older.
Has she got a name or should we just call her sister?
Sister.
No, Victoria.
Sister. So, Tommy and sister. And Tommy, yeah. I'm going to say you're 16 years old.
No.
22.
No.
3.
No.
Are you a baby?
No, I'm
19.
10.
Don't tell me, boy! Are you 10?
Yes.
And your sister's older, so she's got to be what, 19, 20, 23?
No.
42. So, 10. So we've got, let me just write this down. Tommy, who is 9, and sister, who is 42. That's brilliant news. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So, who wants to go first? The 9-year-old or the 42 year old?
42 year old.
Okay. What would you like to say?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't understand pink lemonade, because you never ever see any pink lemons.
Well, I believe you're like a... Hey, I was about to say something that's really inappropriate to say to kids. No, it's not inappropriate. I'm going to say it anyway. You know who Stephen Hawking is, right?
Yeah. Is that like the disabled scientist?
The disabled scientist. And you know what a stalker is?
Yeah.
Right. In America, it was on Radio 4, right, on the news. This is not a joke. It was on the news on Radio 4. I was driving through Victoria when I heard it, right? A woman got arrested, a woman got charged, sentenced today in America, right, for stalking Stephen Hawking. And that's the reaction I had. It must have been hideous for him. But the newsreader said, and a woman has been sentenced in America today for stalking Stephen Hawking. And it was just such a delicious trip off the tongue of those wonderful yet hideous words. One of them's wonderful, one of them's hideous. Put it together. I'm sure it was a nightmare for the family, but it's provided a laugh for us, hasn't it, kids?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. That's what laughing at people less fortunate than ourselves. That's what life really should be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't pink lemonade, it's, doesn't it come, isn't it lemons and pink grapefruit?
Well, I thought you could only get grapefruit.
Sorry?
Yeah, grapefruits are pink,
No, no, you can get... No, grapefruits are yellow, apart from pink grapefruits.
So, you've got...
What?
Does that mean you can get pink lemons, then?
No, you can't get pink lemons, no. Hey, do you know what colour carrots used to be?
Green.
What are they teaching these children? They used to be purple.
Oh. How is that that work?
Well, I'm glad you followed up with the question there. So they used to be purple, right? And then I think the king of Denmark, I think I've got this right, the king of Denmark liked the colour orange so much.
Oh, like my hair.
Well, that's what you say. I have no evidence of that. Like
orange.
Sorry?
His hair is orange.
That's great news. So the king of Denmark liked the colour orange so much that he insisted that bring a cup of tea, Emma. Just and thank you for knocking, because the guy that used to work here, the New Zealand guy, would just steam in with a cup of tea. Thank you, that's very good. You and David are doing a much better job than those two other slackers that have been Murdoch'd off. The king. Did you speak to David on the phone when you called him?
I don't know. Who did we speak to?
We spoke to Id.
No, Id's not here. Id's gone. He's got Murdoch'd off.
Oh, we spoke to David.
Yeah. And what was he like? Was he good?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Is David the one that started shouting out babies?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's good. He does have one weird thing, though, where he just, for no reason whatsoever, he just starts shouting out... Baby, baby, baby! And I will have to have a word with him. About that. I will have to have a word with him. So the king of Denmark liked the colour orange so much, he decided he wanted all carrots to be orange. And I don't know how they did it, but they dyed all the carrots orange, and so carrots are orange now.
But, like, you just can't do that. It's like trying to make a black rose. It's just impossible.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, it is. What are you going to do, dye a rose black, get a white rose, dye it black, and make it grey? Well, you have a grey rose.
You could cut... No, you could get a white rose and colour it in with a biro or a Sharpie.
Exactly.
The petals would just, like...
Why aren't you kids at school?
Because it's 10:30.
Okay, no, fair point. You got me on that one. You got me on that one.
6 hours.
Right. Have you got anything else to say, or shall I cut you off?
No, I have.
Okay. Oh, they said they had something else to say. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. John's on the line. Evening, John.
Lindsay Lohan, are you all right?
So here we go. Lindsay Lohan is going to be turning on the Christmas lights in Kettering. All because she got into tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, at Christmas, I would imagine. All because she got into a Twitter spat with, I think, like a councillor or maybe the MP for Kettering. And now she's going to be turning on the Christmas lights.
What, as punishment?
Well, I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. She's actually going to do it. The thing is, we have to warn her about Nigel from Maidstone, because we heard that Stephen Hawking charged someone with stalking. And I don't want Lindsay Lohan to be, I'm trying to think of something that rhymes that involves some form of sexual inappropriateness, and I can't think of it. I don't want her to get touched up by Nigel from Maidstone. I don't want him to soil himself in her presence.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks very much indeed. I appreciate that. I really do appreciate it. Have you bought my new CD, John?
Well, no, I didn't win in the sort of Twitter giveaway thing. So, you know, now I suppose I've got to buy it, haven't I?
Go, Ian Lee Live, gofasterstripe.com/Ian Lee. It's only 6 quid. Here's the thing, right? I've been very, very generous in giving away a couple of these CDs.
One to Boris Johnson.
On Twitter. I offer Boris Johnson and David Cameron free CDs. They've yet to get back. I suspect they're a little busy. They could do with a laugh. It's quite
interesting, because on Twitter, I said hello to Barbara Streisand about 2 years ago. Nothing.
I'm being followed by Nancy Sinatra.
So am I.
Yeah. What? Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, flipping it. Well, who are you to be followed by Frank Sinatra's daughter?
I have no idea.
I'm being followed by Gervais now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Part of me just, I'm tempted just to tweet him and say, could I have £1 million, please?
What's all that about his film coming out on Netflix only? What's all that about?
His film is, well, he's got two films coming out. The David Brent film is coming out in the cinema.
It's on Netflix, isn't
it? No.
Isn't it?
No. The Brent one's coming out in the cinema, and he's got another film that's come out in Netflix.
Are you absolutely sure of that?
I'm as sure as I can be bothered to be.
Yeah,
I think I'm right. I'm right. The Brent one's going out in the cinema.
Well, I saw the trailer look rubbish, but anyway.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I've been giving away this Ian Lee Live, Ian Lee versus Radio CD, right? And I'm getting people to... That old, age-old trick, free advert, you get people to retweet the link for it and you pick a winner at random, right? First person...
It works.
First person was very excited, thanks very much. Second person, I picked completely at random, and I'm too honest for my own good, right? And I picked this person and I sent them a message saying, that's great, congratulations, I'll send you a DM... a direct message, so you can give me your address. And then it turned out they weren't following me. They weren't a fan.
They'd never heard of you.
They hadn't. So I then had to do the embarrassing thing of saying, could you follow me so I can send you a direct message so you can send me your address for this CD? And then I looked at their Twitter feed, right? And all it was...
Jonathan, is it?
No, it's not him. He's been done, I think. He's been arrested.
I know, yeah.
One of my listeners has been arrested for being a massive racist and anti-Semite. Wow. So...
Just the one.
So I... another one's going to get arrested soon. That's a nice surprise for them. So you send me... here's a tip, guys. You send me death threats on Twitter...
Oh,
when I know who you are, even though you've used a different name, I will get the police involved. How's about that? Does that sound fair enough? Good, because that's what I've just done. Sending me death threats, silly woman, pretending, thinking I wouldn't know who it was. Anyway, and then when I message them saying, you're such and such a person, they block that account. Busted. So, anyway, I then looked at this person's Twitter feed that had won the my live CD. And the Brent film is going to be on Netflix in the USA, but it's going to be cinema over here.
Oh.
And anyway, please let me finish this story, John, and stop interrupting.
I
looked at the person's Twitter feed, and they're just a person that retweets competitions to try and win stuff. So it's a living human being, and a couple of people said, that's a bit off that they're not a fan. Right.
Yeah.
And I went, I'll do another one. It doesn't matter. I'll do another one. But then the person who won then started getting arsey with them going, yeah, didn't say I had to be a follower. What's your problem? Deal with it. And I'm thinking, you send one more rude comment to my followers and you're not going to get your free CD. But they stopped then. So I had to send it off to them. But if you want to buy one, it's £6. Go fasterstripe.com/Ian Lee. What did you call in for, John?
Oh, the last gig I went to see was on Sunday. It was Mark Hamill talking to Ray Davis. How was that?
Oh, yeah. How was that? Were you there? David, my excellent...
There?
No, not you, but David, my excellent producer, was there as well. He's replaced what's-her-face. Was it good?
Well, she's cleared off.
Yeah. They got Murdoch'd. He came in and he went, you, out, you, out, and brought in his own people. Good for him.
Well done, Murdoch.
Yeah, well done, Murdoch. Howling Mad Murdoch. Please don't tell him. As I've always said, I'm a big fan of The Sun and all the good work Rupert Murdoch does for this country.
And the A-Team.
Here we go. John, stay there, because I want to hear about Mark Hamill and Ray Davis.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Okay, John, tell me all about it. What happened last night?
Oh, it was on Sunday, actually.
Hang on a second. Right, hang on.
Hello?
Okay, John, tell us everything that happened on Sunday night.
Well, Mark Hamill turned up, which was good. The first thing that struck me was he was incredibly warm He just came across as a very warm person, extremely good at communicating with the audience.
He's not. He's an arse. Because I have tweeted Mark Hamill so many times asking him to come on this show. Yeah, three times. Asking him to come on this show and talk about the Kinks. And he has he liked one of the tweets. He never replied. That, to me, is a cold man, John. But carry on.
OK. But he, you know, he was very... He was just very sort of open, and I was thinking, this guy is not like Harrison Ford. You can't imagine him doing it.
Wow.
So, and then he brought Ray on, and the most interesting story, I thought, was that there's a song called Oklahoma, USA. Have you ever heard of that one?
That's on the Muswell Hillbillies album.
Yeah, which they were promoting a re-release of.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill said, in that song, it mentions, there's a line that says something about Shirley Jones, who was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Don't know if you know that.
Right.
She was also in the Partridge Family.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, Shirley Jones from the Partridge Family. Here's the thing. She was David Cassidy's stepmom in real life.
I didn't know that.
Here we go, you see. Yes.
But apparently Mark Hamill played Oklahoma, USA, the song, to Shirley Jones, and she was moved to tears by it.
Wow.
Because the song's about this woman in Muswell Hill who's got no money, down on her luck, and she's imagining she's in Hollywood in Oklahoma with Shirley Jones and Gordon McRae. It's a really moving song if you've never heard it.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting that, you know, the person it was about got to hear it in that manner. It was a nice story, you know. And he played some amazing songs. Celluloid Heroes, do you know that one?
You can see all the stars as you're walking down Hollywood Boulevard. There'll be some that you recognise, some that you probably never heard of.
You mean three other people know that song?
Yeah, it's a good song. That's one of the Kinks' best.
It's an amazing tune. And yes. I was sitting there thinking, he was playing it and there was one other guitarist with him.
Yeah.
Which I think is the best way to present his songs at the moment. Because when you've got drums and bass, he can't barely sing over it.
No.
It's so loud.
Yes.
So anyway, he played that song. I was sitting there thinking, this guy is, you know, there's nobody at his best. There isn't anyone better at him than him at songwriting. And he's still going.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, this is amazing, me sitting here listening to this.
Yeah.
So it's a very good gig. Very good gig, Ian.
I saw the Kinks at the Alexandra Palace in about 1990, a gig that I went to on my own. It was a standing up gig. It was all day. It was Squeeze. It was an Irish group called The Four of Them. It was Voice of the Beehive, and it was the Kinks.
I saw them. They're brilliant.
They're good there. I saw Ray Davies do the Village Green Preservation Society at the Royal Festival Hall a few years ago. And here's my prediction. The Kinks will get back together in 2017. That's going to happen.
I'm not sure about that one.
It's going to happen.
Don't you think they sounded a bit too heavy metal by the end?
I don't care. They could go on and be absolutely rubbish. I want to go and see them one more time. They can do whatever they want as far as I'm concerned. I want to go and see them one more time.
I did see Arthur Lee once live as well.
He's good, Arthur Lee. I saw him about six times, I think, Arthur Lee. 0844-499-1000. Yes, Daisy, good evening.
On an island.
Ireland. Okay. Well, let's put that down on the What are you talking about?
What?
You said Ireland. You say Ireland or Ireland?
What?
You said Ireland or Ireland? Daisy.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Daisy.
Hello. Shall we pass you back to Daisy?
Please do.
Hello.
Hello, Daisy. You said Ireland or Ireland?
Ireland.
Yes.
Right, I'm up pretty late because we were waiting for a pizza. I think we ordered it at what time? We ordered a pizza at 9:15 and it came 2 hours later. And I just got back from a school trip
on
an island.
Ireland. Ireland. No, where did you
on an island.
On an Ireland. What part of tell your mum to button it.
And he said butter it.
Button it.
Yes.
Button it, not bottle it. Button it.
Button it.
Button it.
I don't know what.
Button it. Say, Mum, button it.
Mum, button it.
Thank you. At last. If I hear her again, she'll be in very serious trouble. Okay.
Mum, if he hears you again, you're going in trouble.
Yeah.
what he said.
Thank you. What part of Ireland did you go to for your school trip?
I went to the Isle of Arran in Scotland. Yeah, we were climbing a hill today. Not yet today, yesterday.
Yes.
And it was like a pretty big hill. It wasn't Goatfell or anything. It was like one near us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got to see like these little things. I don't know, they're called haggises.
Yeah. And, like, haggis, yeah. Did you eat them?
Yeah, and then and one leg's longer than the other.
Of what?
And if it goes around the wrong side of the mountain, it rolls back down.
Hang on, what's got one leg longer than the other? A haggis?
Yeah. Its right leg is longer than the left.
What does a haggis look like?
It's kind of like about 4 inches long. And that's right leg is longer than the left, and it's and basically, if it goes down the wrong side of the mountain, it rolls back down again.
And the haggis has got legs, has it?
Yeah.
Who told you this?
The people who took us up the hill.
And how old are you, Daisy?
11.
And you'd never seen a haggis before then?
No, I've heard of them, but... Yeah.
They're difficult to catch,
mm-hmm.
but when you catch them and skin them... They're delicious.
Oh, that's lovely.
So did you see any haggises or haggai running around, or did you just see them when they were being prepared?
I only saw one, yep. and it was alive, luckily.
And did it have fur?
Yes.
And it was 4 inches long?
Mm-hmm. Not 4 inches long. It was kind of like a circle thing.
And the legs on one side are shorter than the legs on the other side, so it can go around the hill.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And if it goes around the wrong side, it rolls back down.
I can hear your mum.
Mum, shut up.
Yeah. Say, I'm teaching Ian about haggises.
I'm teaching Ian about haggises.
Well, you are very lucky, Daisy, because I have not seen a haggis for about 15 years. Not a live one, anyway, because I don't go to Scotland very often these days.
So, 15 years? How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I don't know.
Have a guess.
I don't know. 40?
Let's it cough it up. It might be a gold watch. Is 40 old to you?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm older than that.
I'm 50.
Get lost. I'm
666.
Number of the beast. I'm 40. I'm 43.
Oh, 1 year later than the meaning of life.
Okay. And what do you want to be when you reach the ripe old age of 43? A haggis farmer?
But I like haggis, a potato farmer in Ireland.
Okay.
Shut up!
Does your mum get out very often?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who else lives in the house with you? Who else lives in the house with you, Daisy?
Hmm?
Who? Oh, it's Broken Britain. This is Broken Britain. Who else lives in the house with you at the moment?
Well, it's just me and Ollie. Dad lives in Heathrow, and I'm at a friend's house with Mum.
Do you want me? Do you?
Kato. And Anne.
Do you want me to call social services?
I'm good.
Okay, fine. But if there's any problem, Daisy, you call me and I'll call social services, okay? Could you do me a favour, Daisy? What'll be awesome, right, is if you can... could you, very quickly, while you're enjoying your pizza, draw a picture of a haggis for me, a live one?
Yeah.
Get your mum to take a picture of it and get her to tweet it to me, at Ian Lee. Can she do that?
I've got a toy haggis. I can take a picture of that.
No, I want you to draw one. I want you to draw the live haggis that you saw. Get your mum to take a picture of it and tweet it at me, at Ian Lee, so I can have a look.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can you do that now?
Mm-hmm.
Nice one, Daisy. All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Bye.
Later.
Bye then.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
You.
Are you going to hang up or shall I? I look forward to seeing that picture of a haggis. It's broken Britain, isn't it? It really is. It is. It's broken Britain. We'll stay there. We'll come to you after the news. If you want to take part in tonight's show, what have we spoken about? If anyone is from Kettering, I don't know anything about Kettering apart from the fact that Lindsay Lohan is going to be turning on your Christmas lights. Now, Kettering, I make up, is quite small. And Lindsay Lohan is a huge, huge superstar with a huge fan in Nigel, one of our regular contributors to the show. So it would be good to get some Kettering facts up our sleeve so we can know what to expect if we all decide to make the pilgrimage up there to see her. 0844 499 1000. What else are we talking about? The Kinks. That's it, really. I think we've just done an hour of radio and I've literally got no idea of what we've discussed. You can call in about anything. You know the rules by now. You phone up, you speak to my new producer, David, 0844 499 1000. He'll call you back.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Now is an excellent time, and you can speak to the new production team who have not been Murdoch. The other two slackers have been given the boot, and some professionals have at last come in to pick up the slack. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Love 18. On calling me down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on down this road that never seems to end. When you adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. The world is waiting to unfold, a brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
So, oh, hang on.
Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Yes. So, as I was saying, Lindsay Lohan is going to be in Kettering, turning on the Christmas lights. Turning on the Christmas lights. Why do people go to see, why do people go and see Christmas lights being turned on? I don't quite understand that. I suppose, you know,
If it's like, I mean, if it's a big celebrity pressing a button that isn't actually connected to the lights, or they're putting that lever, you know, they're not actually turning the lights on. You know that the person who's turning the lights on is like a technician guy, right? And there'll be someone there. You watch, whenever you see Take That or something, turning on Christmas lights in Oxford Street or Boyzone, there'll be someone sort of just covering their mouth. And what that is, they've got a tiny, tiny walkie-talkie. All technicians have them. And they'll just squeeze it, and you'll just see them squeeze it, and that means they're pressing it and going, he's pressing the button in 3, 2, 1. He's pressed the button. And so then the real person who's controlling the lights hears that in their earpiece, like miles away, and then they press the button that turns the lights on. That's how it works. I hate to break the magic up for you guys. That's how it works. We're still waiting for a picture of that haggis from Daisy. While we're waiting, we'll speak to Will. Good evening, Will.
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
I rang up to talk about Brookside, actually.
Okay. It has to be said, the Brookside phone-in we did yesterday has been the most popular phone-in, I think, and we just got the results back from Rager, has been the most popular phone-in ever done by anyone ever.
It was a great show. I started watching it actually on the repeats on Sky One, which were on about, it must have been, it was just before ITV Digital went, so that would have been 2002, I reckon.
Yeah.
So and around that era, they were showing the whole. It was the trial of the aftermath of the body under the patio thing. So yeah, I watched a bit of that, and then 10 years later, I was on a website where you can obtain content.
Yes.
I noticed Brookside was listed. It was a whole month's worth of Brookside.
Oh.
And so from there, I downloaded every episode then from February 1993, which is when the Jordashes turned up, to the very end, and watched them all over a 3.5-year period. Yeah.
Wow. I know those torrent sites and things like that. That's dedication to the cause.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way these things work, isn't it? They're constantly trying to keep you hooked. You want to see the next storyline.
Yeah.
Or they reveal that one, they'll hook you in with another one. And yeah,
did,
you know,
Brookside have a
Jimmy Corkill, and he was there till the last episode. So.
Did Brookside have a satisfactory conclusion?
Actually, I found the conclusion episode was very satisfying. Yeah,
tell us. When did it finish? 1996, I think you can tell us now.
No, it didn't finish. It was 2003. It finished.
Flip it, heck, really?
And it really lingered on. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, the thing is, so it was. There's about 150 episodes a year.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of my life, which I spent.
Well, did it happen? What's the final 5 minutes of Brookside then?
There's a fireside chat with Jimmy Corkill and Nicky Shadwick.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, I've seen since people have written that it's just Phil Redmond using Jimmy Corkill as a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But it's just saying about how, you know, things aren't what they used to be. There's lots of veiled sort of criticism of the management of Channel 4.
Oh.
That sort of thing. But no, I mean, that particular part wasn't great. But they brought in, you know, Barry Grant, who is probably the best character Brookside ever had.
Yeah.
You know, I think things were rounded off as well as they could have been in the circumstances, really.
Okay.
But, I mean, in that last year, it was pretty weird because they stopped showing the normal editions. You associate Brookside with, like, a sort of, you know, kind of Hollyoaks sort of slot, where Hollyoaks would be now, anyway. And they'd actually, like, stopped that, and so you only had a weekly omnibus.
Yeah, I remember that. They didn't show the episodes in the week, did they? They just showed the omnibus.
And to compensate for that, once they got over the period where they just stopped sort of showing them, the writers sort of adjusted and tried to make these kind of weird cinematic kind of episodes. You can see they were experimenting, and it was very kind of dawdling. And to be honest with you, as soon as the kind of Jordash stuff wrapped up, it massively sort of lost its way. I think they wanted the Simpsons, who were the ones with the Nat and George of the incest storyline.
Yeah.
I think they wanted that to really take hold, but then they had to can that because they were told to, basically. And then the whole thing just, I don't know which way around it was, whether it was the programme went wrong, and so, you know, the upper echelons demanded that it was all changed, or whether the programme was just messed up, I don't know. But you can see how it all went wrong, and especially the last few years. and watching at the pace at which we watched it, because obviously they intend for you to watch one episode every other day.
Yes.
And so you get through about 3 months' worth of storyline in, you know, a couple of days, potentially.
The people on Twitter are saying that the last episode of Brookside is on YouTube, and it's amazing.
Well, yeah,
that,
no,
that's tomorrow, sources.
The last episode is a big redemption, and the storyline is great. And, yeah, it's definitely worth watching. I won't spoil it.
Wow.
But one of the themes you know in Brookside is when the milkman turns up at the beginning, you know it's going to be a good episode. That's their sort of thing.
Oh, is that their little Easter egg? That's how they give that away, is it?
Yeah, it's sort of like, I think that's sort of like a standby. This is going to be something major.
Wow.
I don't know if that was intended or just something I noticed having watched all of the episodes, well, half the episodes in 3.5 years, but yeah.
Flipping egg. Nice one, Will. Thank you for that, mate. What are you, are you devouring any television programmes at the moment?
No. The one lesson I've learned is never to do that again. And I wouldn't recommend it either. If you are going to watch a bit, I would recommend picking out the key kind of Jordache episodes, because they are, I mean, that is some really genuinely good telly.
I'm going to give the last episode a little look in at the weekend, I think.
It's on DVD as well, I think. It's a most memorable moments DVD. To be honest, it's not exactly that satisfying, because it's like one or two random episodes.
Yeah.
And you need more than that to follow a story, really, don't you?
But you've managed to kick your habit.
There were thoughts in my head maybe of then going back to the start, but it's not worth it. It's too much of your life.
Will, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your passion for a television show. 0844 499 1000. We call you back, guys. Rudd, go home, boy. Go home, for crying out loud. He's here at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's here at 11 minutes past 11 on a Friday night. Go and celebrate the wonderful football victory, or commiserate the football loss from the football teams. What have taken place? 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Hannah's on the line. We'll come to you in a minute, Anna. I'm desperately looking for someone to... I could end that sentence there and it would be appropriate. I'm desperately looking for someone to give me some details about Kettering. I know nothing about Kettering, but if Lindsay Lohan is going to be turning on the Christmas lights, then I think we should try and learn as much about it as possible. And have you ever been to watch someone turn on the Christmas lights? I can't think of anybody that would make me go and see Christmas lights being... I have been to see the Christmas lights being turned on once, and it was Basil Bloody Brush. We had to go and see, because the boys wanted to see it, so we had to go and see Basil Brush turning the lights on. And it was like a real local affair, and we had to sit through like a local school choir. And I think there was like a local brass band. And I remember Prince Edward's wife pushed past me in a rather haughty fashion. But it was just a lot of standing around. You stood around for ages. And then, you know, the box that Basil Brush always seems to be sat on was wheeled on very carefully, very gingerly. Then he popped out. And it's not Basil Brush. His voice doesn't say. We went and saw Basil Brush in pantomime, and I thought it'd be nice if we got a box. So we hired a box. It's not that expensive to get a box. So it wasn't that good, because we were kind of directly above Basil Brush, so we could look down and see. We could see the man controlling Basil Brush. The boys didn't notice, thank God. But we could see it. 0844 499 1000. Anna, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Now's a good time to call, because the phones go, for the first hour, very, very busy. And then about 11:15, it goes a little bit quiet. Then it picks up again about 11:45. What the hell is going on at the 11:15 that you stop calling, you slackers? Pete, stay there. I'll come to you in a bit. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. It's Anna. Good evening, Anna.
Hello, Ian. Hannah, hey all.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
I'm fine.
What you got for us, boss?
Kettering. I only live 10, 15 minutes outside.
Well, here we go. Let's get the Kettering facts. Let me get some appropriate Kettering music.
Baby, baby,
David,
baby.
Stop! Yeah! Here we go.
Right.
Okay, let's hear the fact. Hang on, that's not appropriate. That's terrible. Hang on, there we go. Let's hear the fact about Kettering.
Right, it's full of charity shops, bargain shops.
Oh.
It has an A&E. Wixby Park. MP is Philip Hollowbone.
Hang on a minute, Anna.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. Are you just reading this off the internet?
No, I live in Oundle.
Oundle?
Oundle.
Well, she's not... This is... I've got it. I've got what this is. This is sour grapes. Because Lindsay Lohan is not coming to Oundle to turn on the light. She's going to Kettering. So you are doing your best to destroy what is going to be a magical, magical moment for all the people of Kettering.
No. I pop into Kettering quite a lot.
What, to go and leave a deposit on someone's doorstep?
No.
OK, let's carry on.
They have major shops there.
Let's carry on with the Kettering facts.
Well, they were the major ones, really, sadly. It's a bit of a... Well, I can't swear, really.
Oh, OK. Well, so it sounds to me like you're... you're just a little bit upset that she's not going to come to Oundle.
Well, I wouldn't really want her to come here.
Why? what's wrong with Lindsay Lohan?
I don't really like her that much.
Well, if I'm honest, right, I don't really know what she's done apart from a load of drugs back in the day. In terms of her career, she was in... have I got this right? She was in a remake of Herbie Goes Bananas...
Well, I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Well, you know the Herbie films?
No.
You don't know the Herbie films?
No.
Right, so the Herbie films, right, it's a Volkswagen Beetle that is sentient and can think for itself.
Oh, right.
And it's got the number 56 on it, and it has adventures. Well, she... was in a remake of that. And that's all I know. And she was in a West End play that wasn't very good. And she was a bit flaky a few years ago because she had issues. And that's all I know. So, OK, well, this is what we can do tonight, right? So we've learned from someone who's very bitter, we've learned that Kettering is full of charity shops and pound shops. And it's got a park. Okay. If we could find someone who actually loves Kettering, that'd be great. We need to find out a fact file, a biography of Lindsay Lohan herself.
Oh, I don't have a biography of her.
Okay, well, that's going to scupper things. Anything else, Anna?
Well, Kettering is famous for Wixbeak Park.
For Wixbeak Park?
Yeah.
Wixbeak Park?
Yeah.
Well, say again.
Wicksteed. Wicksteed Park's a theme park.
Oh, right, OK. Oh, blimey. The weird thing, there are so many weird little theme parks all over the country, aren't there? Because to me, there's Thorpe Park, there's Legoland, and there's Chessington World of Adventures. They're Britain's theme parks.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, Hannah... There's Wickspeed Park. There's the Johnson Family Dinosaur Park that they keep advertising at the cinema in Henley that I go to. There's all these different theme parks. I wouldn't go to a theme park anyway. We have to go to Legoland because the boys love it and we get free tickets. But theme parks, to me, I would only go to the big three, and even then it would be under duress. Thorpe Park as well. Did I say Thorpe Park? The big four.
But those are the big ones where you have to, like, queue for ages for to go on things. This one, you don't have to queue for long.
Yeah, I would imagine because the rides aren't as impressive as the big ones that you have to queue for ages.
Well, these are more family-orientated, you know. You can go on with your kids, you know.
But you could go... But Legoland is great, right? Because you can... They've got, like, a nice mixture of scary rides, which I will never go on... And kiddie rides that I'm still kind of reluctant to go on.
But
But then again, you don't like going on the, what's that thing you went on across the river the other day?
Oh, the flipping, the cable car across London. That's Boris Johnson. Yeah. That's Boris Johnson for you, right? The only thing Johnson has ever done, right, is he's, that bloody cable car that made me motion sick. That's it. Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson. What a loser. And then he said what a winker then. And I'm glad I stopped myself.
By the way, before I forget, we need to get Nigel to get a Christmas Lindsay Lohan jingle out.
OK, we'll see what we can do. Thank you for that. Pete's on the line. Evening, Pete.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. 0844-499-1000 if anyone else wants to call in. What have you got for us today, Pete? He said, slipping dangerously close to a Savile impression there. Blimey.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, it got like close, didn't it? Have you read, there's a brilliant book, right, by Dan Davis, In Plain Sight. And have you read this?
I haven't. I've heard good things, though.
It details Savile's life.
Right.
It's flipping. I mean, it is horrible. There was some local town, right, and they wanted him to go and open something.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yes, I will go and open that for you, but you've got to provide me with some young ladies for the evening.
God.
And you know what? They did. There's a call there, David. Don't let that call escape. And they did. They did. He went camping in a field and he had like six 17-year-old, you know, dolly birds with him. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. No, that's awful. I mean, that puts the monster I'm about to talk about into context, I think.
Yeah, go on.
I'm talking about Christmas light switch-ons.
Yes.
And in 2000, I think it was 2006 or 7, I went to the Exeter switch-on, which was none other than Noel Edmonds.
Oh, really? The legendary Bullshine King?
The legendary Bullshine King, yeah.
Fantastic.
This was at the height of his Deal or No Deal powers, as it was becoming really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had a whole shtick going on, sort of phoning up the banker and, you know, the banker to switch the lights on and all the rest of it. It was.
And what would, I mean, how many people turned out to see this?
Oh, it was heaving.
Isn't it funny?
The whole high street was full.
Isn't it funny? I wonder why.
I think there's a nice kind of atmosphere. You know, it's the whole thing is coming. It's a bit of a festive evening. You know, there's usually bands or whatever, like sort of brass bands or,
yeah,
you know, school choirs singing Christmas songs. It's, but yeah, I mean, the whole thing was so overly kind of pantomime. It was slightly dreadful, but.
Well, was he bantersome? Did he create laughs?
I think he did. As I say, the banter was kind of with the banker on the phone.
Oh, he had the banker on the phone?
Yeah, well, supposedly, yeah. So the banker was kind of saying, oh, I don't want to switch the Christmas... You're not allowed to switch the Christmas lights and all the rest of it.
Well, you know, he just had a phone. It was just a phone that wasn't even plugged in.
Of course he did.
Well, magical. By the way, if anybody wants to pay me to turn on Christmas lights in towns, yes, of course I'm slagging it off, but I'll totally change my tune for cash. That goes without saying. Those people get paid. I mean, he would have got 20 grand for that.
Yep.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a friend, actually, who does a few of those, but he dresses as a Santa at Christmas.
Yeah.
He works for an agency or whatever, so he ends up going along to quite a few of those with sort of people from Towie or what have you.
Thank you, Pete. Now I'm thinking, actually, 20 grand for turning on lights. Yeah, I'd be up for that. Tris, Joe, stay there. Let's go to Rosie first. Evening, Rosie.
Hello.
Hello, Rosie.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
Yeah, I went to Wixted in Kettering when I was really little, and we went to that park that she was talking about, Hannah was talking about.
Wixted Park?
Yeah, but, yes. I mean, then it was, like, quite old-fashioned. It was brilliant. They had... Have you ever noticed when you go to a kid's park, if they've still got the old slides, you know, the old metal slides? They probably haven't anymore now, but on each step it says Wixted Kettering.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I wonder why that is. And when we went to this park, and I realised that's what it was. They're all like that. And then they had these, each one was like, either had loads of humps in it or big lump.
Yeah.
Like the slide went whoop up in there and it went all the way and then really steep down. Or it was like really like a drop slide, And that was the best bit of it, really. There's a few fairground rides, but now it's a proper...
I remember Thorpe Park.
Thorpe Park. Right?
Well, I remember Legoland when it was Windsor Safari Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my sister broke her thumb there and we saw a grizzly bear. That's all I remember. I must have been 4 years old. I remember my sister falling off a bench and breaking her thumb and being a lot of blood and a grizzly bear. That's all I can remember from the day.
They weren't linked then?
No, I don't. Well, for a long time I thought they were, but they weren't linked, no. And at Thorpe Park, which I haven't been to for years and years and years, but when we used to go to Thorpe Park, when I was like six or seven, it was historical. It wasn't a theme park. There weren't rides there. It was like, it was weird. It was like an historical park. And it had like waxworks of olden days people. And here's the thing I remember from Thorpe Park from when I was 7 years old, right? If anybody can remember this, 0844 499 1000, right? We don't normally do that. Do you remember? We don't do that because it's rubbish. But do you remember, right? In Thorpe Park, there was this massive, when it was historical, there was this massive cube, right? In my head, it's the size of a house. It probably wasn't that big. It was a massive cube. And it was made up of smaller cubes. And each cube had a tiny, tiny window in it. And you could look through the window and see what I believe is called a tableau.
Mean, but I don't think I saw that.
But I've only just remembered it just now. And I remember my dad lifting me up to look through the windows, but I remember thinking, but it's the same thing every time you look through the window. Why would anyone go to this much? I remember it being like dirty pink plastic, and it was like the same kind of plastic that kids' garden toys are made out of. That's what I remember. If anyone else knows, 0844 499 1000.
Remember it being built.
Well, blimey, you are old. Flipping heck.
Yeah, I am old, yeah.
Flipping heck.
My gran's house was in Chertsey, so we had to drive past the reservoir where they first started building it, and you could see all the kind of water park bits being built.
Wowzers. Wowzers indeed, Illy. Yeah. Were you at Ray Davis at the weekend?
No.
Oh,
what did I miss?
You missed Ray Davis being interviewed by Mark Hamill.
Oh, God, I heard about that as well. I bloody have to work Saturdays now.
Well, you should sometime. This is the thing I learnt, right? When I was at LBC, we had Stephen Page and Tyler from the Bare Naked Ladies come in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they came in. It was one of the most fun interviews I've ever had. And they said, you come into the concert on Friday? I said, no, I can't. I'm working. I was doing a late night show, 7 till 10, I think I was doing them. I said, I can't. I'm working. And I regretted that, and Stephen Page has since left the Bare Naked Ladies, and I will probably never get to see him perform with them, although he might be coming over later in the year. I have now made a point, I've decided, that if a band I really, really, really want to see is playing, I'm taking the night off work. That's why, August the 30th, I'm not in work, I'm going out to Liverpool to see Mickey Dolenz playing at the Cavern. September the 9th, taking the night off work, I'm taking the boys to go and see the Bare Naked Ladies. Some things are more important. Yeah. And now that News Corp owns this, I might as well use up my holiday while I've still got holiday. Anyway, Rosie, anything else?
Last time I saw Ray Davis, he seemed a bit not that well.
Hang on a second. I've got to interrupt.
Go on, then.
My sister is saying she broke her thumb at Chessington. That is rubbish, Joe. That is absolute bulls. You broke your thumb. I remember it. You broke your thumb at Windsor Safari Park, Joe. She lives in New Zealand now, and the climate must have done something to her memory, right? You broke your thumb at Windsor Safari Park, and I also saw a big brown grizzly bear, and they had very dark wooden picnic benches there. Don't give me this Chessington stuff, because I hadn't been to Chessington as a kid.
Oh, I used to go there all the time, but then that's, again, quite near where my grandparents live.
Unless I'm suffering from the Mandela syndrome. Do you remember the Mandela syndrome we discussed?
No, I missed that. Sorry.
You'll have to Google it. You'll have to Google it. 0844 499 1000. Do I have a break now? I'm confused. Oh, blimey, yes.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Now, we are big fans of Howard Hughes on this show because, like us, he fills his 3 hours with complete and utter nonsense. Completely made-up bullshine. And I've said it to his, not to his face, I've said it to him while he's been on Skype. And it turns out he's wearing a towel in dressing gown, the pervert. It's a flipping brilliant listener. I cannot tell you how good a listener it is. And if I'm awake on Sunday, I've got the kids Sunday, so I might be asleep. If I'm awake, I'm going to listen to that because I'm a big fan of the Philadelphia Experiment, the film. And I read a book about it. And I don't believe anyone actually travelled through time. But I'm also a fan of time travel. So we'll listen to that. I might even call in. I'm tempted to, if I'm awake when he's talking to that guy and he's taking phone calls, I'm calling in and I'm going to put him in his place. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. After 12, we'll do calls straight to air. Probably the penultimate time we do it for a while. I just want to have a little break from it. We'll see. We'll do it tonight and we'll probably do it on Monday. And then we'll drop it for a while. But if you call now, you'll speak to new producer David and he will take your name, rank and serial number and we'll call you straight back, guys. 0844 499 1000. Joe, stay there. Tris is up next. Yes, Tris.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Tris.
How are you doing? All right?
I'm all right, fella. What you got for us?
You were talking last night about the Beatles' Love album.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to so many fans about that album. It normally gets panned. I'm just
people
glad
hate
to
it.
Hear another. Yeah,
people I'm hate
glad
it. I think it's
fan that love it.
I think it is absolutely stunning. I don't like it as much as I remember the first time I heard it. It blew my mind, right? And I have not gone back to it as much as I have with Beatles original albums. But Every time I hear it, I love it. The version, flipping hell, man. The version of Octopus's Garden is incredible.
Oh, that's got all the Sergeant Peppery bits.
Brilliant. Love it. I love it. In fact, I'm gonna when I'm driving down to see Love tomorrow in Southampton, I'm gonna take the Beatles Love CD with me in the car and I'm gonna play that because I think it's a masterpiece. It's George Martin's son, isn't it? That
they did it together. That was a father and son effort.
It was weird because they were doing it, and they weren't. There were certain rules they had to follow. They weren't allowed to change the pitch, I think. They did it, and then I think Ringo came in, and they were really worried that he was going to have a go at them. And he said, "No, I love it. Push it further. Push it further. Do more with it. I think it's
a
wonderful record."
But I think it's the sort
record.
Of weirdness the Beatles would be doing in the 2000s,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, I think
why
it's,
not?
I think it's absolute genius.
And I think there's something ridiculous, like 120 Beatles tracks on that or something stupid.
Well, have you heard the Hank Handy Beatles mashup medley?
No.
Oh, mate. Right, hang on a minute. Listen to this. Let me find it. I've not got it on this computer, so I have to go to YouTube. My mate, someone I know did this, right?
Yeah.
It's all Beatles songs, right? There are 58 Beatles songs in this 3.5 minute piece. Right? It is stunning. Now, are you near a radio? Because you want to listen to this on the radio, not on the phone.
I am, yeah.
Right, put the phone down for a minute. Don't hang up. Because I'll come to you afterwards, but listen to this through a radio. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, have some of this. Here we go.
Lady Madonna, children at
come on, Tris.
Oh, mate, that's off the hook. Isn't
it? Did you like that?
That's great.
If I've just tweeted the link to the YouTube channel because it's got it. As it's playing, it lists all the songs that are playing at the same time. So it will say, you know, bass from Sergeant Pepper, percussion from Everybody's Got Something to Hide, vocals from P.S. I Love You. It's flipping. Honestly,
how long did that take him?
It took him absolutely. It took him ages. It's genius. I think it's a work. It's a work of art. That it's absolutely genius.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. Like that a lot. I wonder what you thought of other sort of post-2000 Beatles projects. I'll Let It Be Naked and stuff like that.
Let It Be Naked, I listened to it once.
I hate it.
Yeah, I did, I mean, Let It Be is not one of my favourite Beatles albums by a long stretch, right? It's kind of low down the list for me. I listened to it once. My mum bought it, and I listened to it once. And do you know what? I've not heard it since it came out, I don't think. I'm also not a massive fan of the Beatles at the BBC albums.
You know, I'm a completist. I've got them, but I've probably not even finished the first one.
I've got the 9-disc bootleg compilation of all of the Beatles at the BBC stuff that they did.
Oh, hello.
And it's kind of...
They didn't really do much sort of post-64, did they?
No, it's all the same stuff. Pop Goes the Beatles is a good song, with a theme tune to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of it, it's just, you know... I tell you what I bought. On Amazon, right, because I was walking the dog and I was listening to my Beatles albums on my headphones. And, of course, I bought the box set. I bought the wrong box set. I bought the crappy stereo box set. Because I thought they'd have sorted all that out, and it was just sounding awful in my head. So I bought on Amazon for £60... You can't get it for that now, but £60 I bought the mono box set. Now that
£60
for the mono box set, right? It was like it was £58. I remember seeing it going,
mate.
And the next one was like £120, and I bought it. It is packaged beautifully. It's much better packaging than the stereo one.
Well, it's the smaller condensed box, isn't it? It's really nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Anyway,
yeah.
Tris, I got to go. I'm late for an ad. Always happy to geek out on the Beatles. Joe, stay there. You're up next.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. If you've been watching on Periscope, it's been pony tonight. I've just changed onto a different Wi-Fi thing, so it should be a little bit better. What's Periscope, I hear you say? Well, it's a way you can watch the radio show. Not a lot happens, but sometimes I come and talk to the people during the break, and I will do it at midnight. I'll come and talk to the Periscopers. I film it on my telephone. You can watch it as it happens. If you go to periscope.tv/Ian Lee, IAINLEE, it pops up. Now is an excellent time as well to remind you, we do a daily podcast. Which goes out after the show. And you can get it on iTunes, or you can get it as your usual podcast providers. Yes, Joe!
Good evening.
Good evening, Joe. What you got for us, boss?
I heard you talking about earlier about fake switches when you get turning on Christmas lights, things like that. And
yes.
I think the ultimate fake switch, the one that we see every Saturday night, is the one on the National Lottery draw. It's been going on for years and years, and it's something that a lot of people just don't notice.
Is that is that actually fake?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. The celebrity that presses the button doesn't do anything. If you actually look in the background, you see the draw master with his white glove. He presses the button to release the balls.
No.
The balls. He does.
Well, first of all...
he presses the button to start the draw.
First of all, I've not seen the lottery for years, not since I auditioned to be the host of the midweek lottery, and they said, they said I was too subversive. All I did was stand in a studio in Buckinghamshire, wearing a suit, reading the auto cue. I did, admittedly, all right, so I was reading the auto cue. So basically you say what you're told to say, and then they had the voice of the balls, and he said, well, Ian, what would you do if you won this week's lottery of £36 million? And I said, I would buy an island where I'd go and roam about it naked and hunt wild animals with my teeth. Now... that's not subversive, is it? Is it?
Well, no, because if you're on an island, you're going to need to hunt animals, and you might as well take clothes off because it's going to be quite warm.
It's
so
going to be hot.
Sensible.
It's going to be hot. And they said that was too subversive, and I lost that job that would have paid for everything very, very nicely. Thank you very much indeed. So I've not watched that. So that's a fake switch, is it?
Yeah, it's fake switch. It's just got some fancy lighting to make it look real, but it's not real.
We can link all this together.
You can look in the background.
We can link all this together. Who was the first host of the lottery?
First host of the lottery, Noel Edmonds.
It was Edmonds, wasn't it? And it was an hour-long show where there were loads of games in it.
Yeah.
And I thought the game was, like, whatever the answer was for the first game would be the first ball. But it wasn't. It was all basically, the whole hour was just deciding who would get to press the button, I think.
Yeah, it was something strange. Like, they made a big deal about it. I mean, obviously now it's something that we all take for granted, but back then it was obviously brand new. Back in the days where game shows were still giving away £1,000.
Where was it? I'm going to say 1995, the first one.
I'm going to guess 1993.
It couldn't have been 93. Well,
it could be 94.
It could be 94, because I remember it was in my third year at college. What was that?
Yeah.
Who was that?
I think it was my tablet.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, dear.
I was in my third year at college, and we all bought tickets, and we all stayed in to watch Noel Edmonds doing the flipping National Lottery. And we were all gutted because, of course, we didn't win anything. And we all thought, oh, well, we're going to get a couple of hundred quid or at least a tenner. And nobody I knew won anything. And then it dawned on us that it was stacked completely against us.
Yeah. When you read the odds, they're a bit saddening, really.
Yeah. Do you still do the what I like to call the idiot's tax?
I do sometimes, to be honest, just for the sake of getting rid of the change in the pocket. I mean, these days, what can you do with £2?
Well, it costs £2, does it?
Yeah, it's double the price it used to be.
Flipping heck! And it's less the chance to win, isn't it? Because they fixed the odds. They added an extra ball or took out or changed the way you win or something, didn't they?
Yeah, I think with the EuroMillions draw, you've actually got more chance of the world ending tomorrow than winning the actual draw. That's the sort of odds we're talking about.
Well, the end of the world is very, very nigh, it would appear. The whole world's gone insane.
Mm. And the problem with betting on the end of the world is if it pays out, what are you going to do with the money?
What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Joe, thank you very much. Someone's told me on Twitter, at Ian Lee, that the guest that Howard Hughes has got on his show tomorrow about time travel is dead, that it's a pre-recorded interview. Well, I'll just go back in time and phone him up then, shall I? Rob's on the line. Good evening, Rob.
Oh, I've got a gold edition Beatles album. Oh, I've got the mono album. Bloody heck. Come on, I'm not in Record Collector magazine radio. How are you?
Bit jealous of you, Rob.
No, because I don't like the Beatles. Never have done.
Oh, you're just saying that to be controversial.
No, I've always preferred the Monkees. I've never liked the Beatles.
Only arses don't like the Beatles.
Well, there you go.
You're an arse.
Me and you are together.
No, then. I like the Beatles.
Yeah, you said that.
I say, because everyone likes the... How can you... Honestly, if you don't like the Beatles, you have no soul. Back to arses again. Yeah, okay, right, fair enough.
I'll take that.
What you got for us, Rob? Been a long time since we spoke, which was a good thing.
Been on holiday.
Oh!
I went to Dublin on Pride Day. That was adventurous.
There we go, you see. Well, fantastic.
I saw a man dressed as a woman. He said hello to me. Happy Pride Day. That was lovely.
There we go, you see. Isn't it wonderful? And if the... it's interesting to know. I have been... Have you heard any of the Tory... The Tory people that want to become the Prime Minister?
I have.
Have you heard all of their speeches?
I have.
Flipping it, they're boring, aren't they?
I did like Theresa May. She didn't have the top button undone, did she? I thought she would have gone for a bit of, like, older man, you know.
No, she didn't. But Gove did.
Gove did.
Yeah, Gove was showing a bit of nip. But they all do, right? They all do this thing where they go, and I believe what the country needs is someone who has a background in caring for people. And, well, I was born to... Margaret and Steve Gove and was adopted at the age of 3 months. And
here.
Mum didn't have much money She could only afford to send one of her children to a private school. And it goes on and on, and they do all these really boring speeches about how hard their life... Stephen Crabb, I didn't see my... Well, I believe that the leader of the country and the next prime minister should have struggled in life. And, it reminds me that we didn't see much of Dad, and Mum was a single mother, and we grew up on a council estate, and I went to a comprehensive school. Well, I don't want you as prime minister then, you divvy! You thick divvy that doesn't know what a normal relationship is! Get out of it!
I know inner city London. I used to watch Desmond's on Channel 4.
And its sequel, Pork Pies Millions.
Which weren't as good.
Which weren't as good, but the character, if I remember correctly, the actor that played Desmond died suddenly. And that's why... But they still wanted to retain the essence of blackness on Channel 4. So hastily the writers cobbled together a weak plot where Pork Pie, who was a regular down-and-out in Desmond's, won the lottery. And that's...
And became a lollipop man.
Became a lollipop man. And that was the premise for Pork Pie's Millions, which is the only contact I've ever had with black people, was seeing a trailer... for Pork Pie's Millions, when I went to a friend's house and their parents allowed them to watch Channel 4.
I believe I have a Lamar CD somewhere.
Although, if I'm honest, I do think that Ainsley should have won that series of Fame Academy. They were both pipped at the post, of course, by a good friend of mine, David Sneddon. Now!
There you go. If one of them brings back Desmond's, I'll vote for it.
Oh, yeah! Bring back Desmond's! Bring it back! Because the thing is, right, you don't need the actor to do it. You can do it with a computer now. CGI Desmond's, you don't need any of them. You've got to pay them. Just get CGI Desmond's.
Or do, like, a reboot with Richard Blackwood.
There we go, you see! Is he still in EastEnders?
I don't know. No, he's on a show, isn't it, where you can... You know that show where celebrities, you can date them? I saw it the other day in the newspaper. It's like first dates with Richard Blackwood. Now there is an opportunity for a young lady.
I've met Richard. He's a very nice gentleman.
Did he sing 1, 2, 3, Get With The Wicked for you?
He didn't sing it. He did. Unfortunately, he didn't. No. Yeah. Stephen Crabb is another one. He looks like he can't make his mind up whether he wants to grow a beard or not. He doesn't like gays.
Mm.
He doesn't like gays. He's upset that there's that gays can get married now. He voted against that.
That's wrong.
Yes, and he's also I must read up on him because loads of people keep sending me links. I don't click on links, but loads of people keep sending me links telling me that he's a bit of an arse. The fact that there's a link saying this man is an arse is enough for me.
Well, I see that about you a lot online. Oh. So.
Have you bought my CD yet, Rob?
I bought your Shindigri DVD and that never came. So okay. I'll be honest, I've not got much hope.
Did it not come?
It never came.
Did it not?
I even put work into that.
Did it not come? Did you pay for it?
Yes.
Oh, well, then send me your address and I'll send you a CD.
Okay, I'll send you my address. Just a quick one.
Yes.
You know, like, the world is broken?
Yes.
On two things from Monday... It's Independence Day, so someone needs to call in and do the speech, because it's the greatest speech from a film ever.
Well, hang on, a speech from Independence Day?
Yeah, you know where he's like, in less than an hour, aircraft, blah, blah, blah.
I might. Do you know what I'm going to go and do tomorrow?
What?
I'm going to go and see the new Independence Day film.
Don't.
But, why?
Watch first. Honestly, it's not great.
Okay.
Goldblum's awesome.
Yeah, Goldblum is probably the greatest actor in the world.
Agreed.
Yep.
There's that, and from next week, obviously the EU's now broken up.
Yes.
So from next week, I'll be teaching us all French, because when we go there, they might not want to speak English anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is the thing. All you racists that voted us out, you know when you go to France, right, and you go, how much is the bread... they answer and they do it. They won't do that now. They'll just stand there looking at you going, oh, no,
yeah. Can't turn your phone on because the roaming charges are going to be through the roof.
Roaming charges are going to go zooming right through the roof. So you want to post pictures on Facebook and Instagram of your trip to France, it's going to cost you an absolute fortune. And it's your fault for being a racist.
There you go.
Rob, nice.
So next week, I'll be teaching you French on the show. I'll be back.
Thank you very much, Rob. I look forward to that. Dan's on the line. Yes, Dan?
G'day.
G'day, Dan.
No, it's not. It's not Dan. It's Rupert.
Oh, good. Oh, hello, boss.
Yeah, just been reviewing your contract.
Yes, watertight 2-year contract.
Well, everything's watertight, but you know, let's try and see if we can find some leaks in there.
Oh.
Okay. First things first. How do you think you would deal with a situation where you had to apologise on air for something you may not agree with?
I would do it through gritted teeth, but I would do it, sir.
Are you quite sure about that?
Yes, sir. I did it at the other place, and they still sacked me.
I'm not sure you should. I mean, you should possibly wait 6 or 7 years before you do this kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay. Ian?
Yes, sir?
Is it nearly time for the news?
Yeah, it's in 20 seconds, sir.
Right, I've got something to tell you, Ian.
Yes?
I'm not Rupert Murdoch.
Cut him off. Talk Radio. Last hour of the show, penultimate straight to air for a while. It may only last a week. I'm in my head it's going to last for the whole of July, but we shall see. Don't call just yet. I will tell you when to call. Okay, I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio, and if you stay tuned, then you're about to hear the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Information when no words are spoken, I get so high just thinking of you. Feel just like a schoolboy forgetting my own name. How much do you think the person that you are? Live my life, never looking back, but they're just myths they tell you to take you to your ripe old age. But I've been alone in a house so hollow. I never thought I'd meet you, your perfect imperfection. That you are, how much do you think? It's terrifying. Your arms around me and death defying. I'm terrified.
Well, that's exciting news. Just as we're playing the Monkees song, guess what email I get? Yeah, that's right. It's from Rhino saying my Monkees box set is being sent from the United States. All the episodes remastered on Blu-ray with bonus features and outtakes from Head. Boom. Have some of that. And don't tell my wife I've spent another $250 on more Monkees rubbish than I have to pay a huge import fee. Calls go straight to air. Line one, you're on the wireless.
They tried to make me go to Kettering, but I said...
OK. And that's kind of how it works. 0844-499-1000, 7 pence a minute, plus access charge, a bit more from mobiles. You call up and you do whatever you want. You can carry on the conversation that we've had so far, although I'd be hard-pushed to remind you about it. Or you can phone up and make silly noises or play a bit of music or do whatever you want. Honestly, I don't care. We had some fella last night phoning up... With an argument that he didn't understand, and I wasn't being obtuse or a pedant. I was really trying to help him, but he didn't want help. I was really trying to help him just focus his argument. He phoned up and said that he hated the poppy appeal. When he didn't, he hated the fact that the government didn't do enough for war veterans, so that the poppy appeal had to exist. And we put it on SoundCloud, and we spent about 15 minutes going round in circles. Oh, I hate the poppy appeal. No, you don't. So you can phone up and do that if you want. 0844-499-1000. I have enjoyed listening to all of the winkers that want to become the next Prime Minister. And they are really, they're all drones. Michael Gove, he looks like... he looks like the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Rick Moranis. That's what he looks like. It's just Rick. Do you really want Rick Moranis, who is a wonderful comic actor, but do you want him as the Prime Minister? I may not have personality. No, you haven't. And we all think that, you know, yes, it's great that you stabbed Boris in the back, but you stab your mates in the back, right? So it was funny to see Boris being stabbed in the back. It was hilarious, actually. So well done, Michael. Thank you for that. But you stab your mates in the back. So you're a horrible, horrible man. Just like Theresa May is a horrible, horrible man. These people are awful. And all of their speeches, it's like they've gone to the same... You know, you can get, and this is a weird thing, right? You can get these, 0844-499-1000, by the way. You can get these professional services that will write a best man speech for you. So if you're a best man at a wedding, you can't write a speech. Well, you shouldn't really be best man at a wedding. But you can go to this, like a company, and they'll ask for a few facts about the bride and the groom and a couple, and they'll write a speech for you, and they'll put... gags in, but they all follow a format. And all of the speeches in the past couple of days from people wanting to become the next Tory leader and Prime Minister, they all follow the same format. These are tough times. I have plans for the future. We can be a great country. My dad abused me when I was a kid, and I grew up in poverty, and I've struggled, but now I've worked really hard, and I think I'm the right person. And then Gove was doing jokes in his. He made a joke about, I think he did two jokes. I think one was about David Brent. Oh, Lino, are you still listening? What was the other joke? Because you texted it to me. What was the other joke that Michael Gove did? It was... Oh, I can't remember. 0844-499-1000. Oh, that was it. In a world when computer says no, I'm going to be saying yes. What? It was something like that. He was quoting Little Britain, right? Well, I've only ever seen one... I've never seen Little Britain. I've only seen little bits of it. But that was about 10 years ago. Right? He thinks he's got his finger on the pulse of comedy. He's got his finger on the pulse of that. 0844-499-1000 is the phone number. This is the hour where I just kind of sit here and I'll look through the papers and I'll chat to myself. And you enjoying yourself, David? You having fun? You having fun? Okay, David is the new producer and Emma is the new id. They've been Murdoch'd and good is all I can say. So for this hour of the show, I am quite happy to sit here and I'll look through the papers and I'll talk about stuff. And you're welcome, dear listener, to phone in at any moment you want. You dial 0844-499-1000. I'll see you on the screen and I'll click the screen and put you through. This is probably the penultimate straight to where we're going to do for quite a while. So fill your boots, guys. Really, fill your boots. And the less calls we get, the more I will realise that I have done the right thing by getting rid of it. Oh! Oh, flipping it. Oh, hang on a second, there's a call. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
Tomorrow, Ian, I'm going to deal with my children as if I was a politician.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that I say, let me be absolutely clear before I answer any questions.
Yeah, you should.
And I'll just avoid answering questions.
Yeah, that's...
see what it's like.
That is a brilliant technique. But incorporate their names into it as well. Say, well, that's an interesting question,
kind of
Emma.
Yeah, rehash what I'm saying, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. When I said there was to be no Lego, what I mean is we're looking for change in the building block area. Something like that.
Yeah, perfect. And it's the thing. Perfect. And it's the thing that got me in trouble a lot at the BBC when I was there. Is I just couldn't stand. We spoke to a few MPs. Then we spoke to one MP, whose name escapes me. Steve Baker, was that his name? Tory MP. He wasn't a nice bloke. And he was the MP for an area where this school for children with learning difficulties, severely disabled kids, actually, was being closed down.
Yeah.
And I said to him, have you spoken to any of the parents? And he, basically, he knew this school was going to close down before any of the parents, right? And he,
oh, do you know what? I've got a feeling I remember this, but it might be Ed Miliband, where he basically said the same thing over and over again, but in a different way. We must get around the table, sort this out.
And I won't watch. And they thought, because it was a local radio show, right? They'll be able to, you know, just steamroll over the person because it's the BBC and then the local radio show. I was having none of it. We had a proper argument, and he complained. He made an official complaint about it. Good, yeah, exactly. Good. It wasn't upheld.
And it's not about politics, but it should be held accountable. And I think that they don't kind of... Everybody with half a brain cell knows what they're doing when they kind of don't answer the question.
Here's the thing.
And it's like, you know, really?
Councillors and MPs, right, they have media training. They get an afternoon of media training where they're told... If anyone... The thing that would make me shudder, right, is if you had... supposing, like, a library had closed down or something, right? So it's bad news, right? And you get the councillor would come and go, right, we've got Julie, the councillor from the area. Julie, this is outrageous, this library is closed down. It's going to affect loads of children. Well, Ian, first of all, can I say thank you so much for allowing me to come on your show today to talk about this very serious issue. We here at the council are working to make sure that all of the children... And they go on and do that, and I'd say...
Let me be clear when I say to you, Ian, that this is not something that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Let me be absolutely clear in saying that.
Lessons will be learnt... Lessons will be learned. But you knew if the first thing they said was they ignored the question and first, may I say thank you very much for allowing me to come on and talk about this. She knew that they'd been to media training and you were going to have to really fight to get a straight answer out of them.
Yeah, and do you know what? That's the only thing. I'm not really talking about politics. I'm talking about the way that speech is manipulated. But when Farage said, oh yeah, we shouldn't have put that on the side of the bus. No, that was wrong. And at least, do you know what I mean? It was like, it's a bit bittersweet because he's coming out with a straight answer, kind of admitting a lie. But, you know, you think, well, is it good that he just admitted a lie? Or is he just appalling in the first place?
Yeah.
Oh, and, sorry, tangent, I sent you a picture of you as Bruce Lee on your...
Oh, was that you that did that?
Yeah.
You're like Stephen Hawking Stalkings. That's what you are, you fruitcake. That was brilliant. Thank you very much. Very kind. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hip, hip, hip.
Oh, God, blimey. Someone's on death's door.
Oh, sorry, is that my throat? I apologise.
What is going on, man?
Oh, I've just finished a game of poker and I'm on my way home.
Were you smoking?
I am, yes, indeed.
There we go. You said, well, it sounds like your vocal cords have been torn to shreds, but that's never mind. What have you got for us?
It was mainly a case of, I know you're a big fan of certain musical types and... In many ways, often music that kind of waves a flag at music types.
Hang on, hang on a minute. Music that waves a type, waves a flag at music types. What were you smoking?
I apologise.
There goes the lung. Yes.
That's the guitar.
Yeah, okay.
No. I know you like certain music that is kind of
out there, man.
On the concepts of music, etc. There's a gentleman I was a friend of years ago of the name of Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
He's alternative folk darling.
Okay. Yes.
Monsieur.
Yes.
Or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But he works on like detuned instruments. And,
oh, one of them. All right. Yeah.
And he's played folk festivals. He's been on Mark and Lard's. I know they're separate entities these days, but yeah. He's been on their respective shows. I just thought you would dig it the most.
I will check it out. Thank you very much indeed. someone's had a good night. Can't argue with that, can you? 0844 499 1000.
Late night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Yes, line one.
Hi Ian, it's Nelson from the Norfolk.
Hey Nelson man, how you doing? Every single time it gets me. So, Oasis are in the newspapers. They're arguing. But what's more exciting, I think, is that Liam Gallagher's been arguing with Mike Parry. Have you seen that? I've just asked if anyone on Twitter can retweet the argument between Liam Gallagher and Mike Parry. Both gentlemen, it has to be said, have been nothing but delightful to me when I met them. I had to introduce BDI on stage at the Royal Albert Hall. I was doing it because I got to introduce The Who on stage. I've mentioned this many, many times because it's one of my proudest moments. And I was stood in a corner and I was just looking at my phone, pretending to be busy, because I could see Liam Gallagher over in the corner. And he walked up to me and... there's more to... I've not seen the last few. And Liam Gallagher walked up to me and introduced himself. We went, all right, my name's Liam. I was like, all right. I can't read all of this because it's quite swear. I hadn't seen the last two pieces of this. So Liam Gallagher tweeted, listen up, no Oasis reunion. Our kid's not into it. I am. He's too busy being beige, new sounds on their way. Stay cool and most of all relevant. Well, Mike Parry, who I think is absolutely brilliant. I'm a big fan of the two Mikes. So I get all my sports knowledge from is listening to that. The only sports show I listen to. Tweeted, you can hardly blame him, Liam, he's a Lennon McCartney class musician and you're an average singer with attitude. Liam then replies, and I will change. If I say crumb, that's the C word. And if I say flip, that's the F word, OK? You reckon, you soppy crumb. He's average and you know it. You stay turned big ears. Be prepared to be dazzled as you were knob jockey. Mike Parry replies, can you tell us millions of Oasis fans just one great song you've ever written? No, you can't. I could do your job. And there's other... Gosh, okay. Liam Gallagher then says, don't look back in anger, you... Word that's probably a bit too offensive, looking crumb. There's one. Sit down and poo the flip up, Papa Smurf. You're just a Kenny Rogers. You're just an SH1T Kenny Rogers. It is absolutely... I'm going to retweet that last one. Dearie me, that's fun. That's really, really good. That's very funny. Thank you for that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call straight to air, you're more than welcome to. You don't have to if you don't want to. I'll just sit here and we'll have a little look in the papers. Now, yes, here's a story, dear listener. Here's a story I've been meaning. This is what I mean. The whole show was meant to be based on this. I've turned the lights off now, so I can't see what the writing. Oh, here we go. An inventor, like a proper, your actual proper bona fide inventor, except you don't invent stuff that would be useful. He's one of those inventors that just invents rubbish. And instead of inventing... No, I've started that thinking I could, hoping that I could think of an invention that would actually be useful. 0844 499 1000. Instead of inventing a time machine, he's invented something that looks a bit Heath Robinson. Inventor Peter Brown has come up with a Wallace and Gromit style contraption that takes all the hard work out of making breakfast. Making breakfast isn't hard work. It's a piece of cake. 0844 499 1000. It served boiled eggs and toast, tea or coffee, and even hands over the morning newspaper, all at the push of a button. And this old boy that's built this, right, there's a picture of him. He looks exactly as you'd imagine him to look. Just like an old boy with some loose-fitting jeans on, and he's made this thing, and it's just, I mean, it's kind of... It's a monstrosity, but it's beautiful in its monstrousness. 0844 499 1000. Retired airline pilot Peter, 69, spent about... spent about 1,000 hours building his Sunday morning breakfast machine with friend Marvin Huggett. 1,000 hours. He's 69. He wouldn't have spent 1,000 hours making breakfast for the rest of his life. Probably about 20 hours. It was hard work for 3 months, but it was worth it, he said. It really does make a perfect breakfast. The eggs are timed for 4.5 minutes, and it makes perfectly browned toast. And it's just wires and metal, Meccano, it looks like. Flipping heck. The 5-foot-long machine is made from welded steel and aluminium, with 13 motors and gears controlled by 8 microprocessors. A crane picks up an egg and drops it into boiling water. What? Huh? While infrared elements sweep over the bread, dropping it down a ramp to the table. Peter of Lindfield, West Sussex, hopes the machine can go on display at a museum. I mean, like, fair play to the bloke, is brilliant, but what kind of museum? Yes, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
Yes, I've collected myself slightly more. I'm much better now. But by conduit of calling yourselves earlier, I have missed my last Metro Transit public system.
Hang on a minute. Home. You can't blame me for you missing the last train home.
No, but it makes me feel slightly better.
Well, you called me a conduit. I don't know if we're allowed to say that on the radio. You conduit, you massive conduit. That's what Liam Gallagher was calling Mike Parry.
Well, is he that fellow who's got that... oh, no, it's Grayson. But...
Yeah, no, he's the lead singer from Oasis. So how are you going to get home then?
I'm just going to do a slow, purposeful walk.
When I haven't had a drink for years, right, but when I used to drink, when I was young, when I was about 16, 17, 18, right, and we lived, like, miles away from anyone else, so it was always me that would have to go into town to see my friends. They would never come to where I was. And it was a... You're right.
Oh, yeah, very well. Sorry, I've got you on the old earphones, so there's a bit of coastal wind battering me as I walk.
I'll batter you in a minute. And the last bus home was about 10 o'clock at night, so we'd finish boozing about half 11, midnight. And so what I would do, it was about a 2.5 hour walk home. So to speed it up and so that I wouldn't get in trouble, I would run bits of it. So I'd run for like about 3 minutes until I felt I was going to be sick. Then I'd walk for 20 minutes and then I'd run for another 2 minutes. I must have shaved off about 16 minutes of a 2.5 hour walk. And then sometimes I'd stop and have a little rest. You know, you just like sit on the floor and have a little rest.
Well, Ian, I'm with you 100%. The one addition I often do is if I really need a wee,
yes.
I won't have a wee at my starting point. And the knowledge of the fact that I will need a wee where once I get to where I'm going to, so I will use that to speed my walking.
You literally are making no... You're literally no sense whatsoever, but I'm enjoying your call. Thank you very much. Safe journey home. Give us an update in a bit. Yes, line two.
Hello, Mr. Lee. Hello.
Hello, line two.
This is Mr. Chang Tong. I trained in Mongolia with Kung Fu Elliot. He's not happy with you, Mr. Lee.
Uh-oh.
He said you're a listener. Nothing. He real. He real, man, Mr. Lee. He told me, listen, Judy Holly Brewer. Okay. Not happy with you.
Thank you very much indeed. It was only slightly racist.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I wonder, 0844 499 1000, straight to air, probably the penultimate one we're going to do for a while, so I would come and get it while it's hot, guys. Come and get it while you still can. So this guy, Peter Brown, wants this machine to go in a museum, but I don't know what museum it will go. Surely museums. Hey, here's the thing. When we go to the Science Museum, we go to the Science Museum a lot, right? Because it's brilliant, right? Absolutely brilliant. Apart from the last time I went there and I had an argument with this woman, this really rude woman who told my children off for having too many goes on a thing. They'd only had, they were on their third go. Everybody else, we'd waited for about 30 minutes for them to have three goes on a thing. And she had told my children, don't speak to my children like that, I said. Then I made the mistake. She was an absolute arse, right? And I was so angry with her, speaking to my boys like that. And she was being so rude that I got my phone out and started filming her. And then she, of course, she didn't recognise me, but then she got her phone out and started filming me. And I'm thinking, oh, no, if this goes like viral, everyone's going to know it's me. And I'm going to be the bad guy. Because here's the thing. If you're a man and a woman arguing, right? If you just join that scenario halfway through, most people would tend to think that the man was the bad guy and the woman was the good guy. Most people would. And I was definitely in the right on that one. Definitely. And I've had arguments where I've been hideously in the wrong. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, then I was in the right. Anyway, we stormed off and my children burst into tears. But the Science Museum, they've got loads of things that I used to have as a kid in the museum. Like they've got a BBC computer, they've got a Spectrum, they've got cassette players. Cassette players! I bought the boys, they're 6 and 4, right? And I bought them, it's coming this weekend, hopefully. I bought them each a CD player for their bedroom. Just like a little portable CD player. Now, most of the CD players had a radio on and that was it. No. So I bought a CD player with a radio and with cassette on it. And they said, Daddy, what's a cassette? I said, well, I've got big boxes of them in the spare room and you can borrow them whenever you want. And they've got music on. And they're like, wow, it's a new way to listen to music. In fact, when the hell are those things coming? I should have a little look. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. He hopes that this can go his museum can go on display at a museum because he's running out of room to store his inventions. Oh, he's one of them. He's one of them. He makes loads of things. I've got three or four other contraptions in my garage and a couple outside, he said. You do kind of wonder, don't you? Oh, the CD players are coming tomorrow. That'd be good. You do kind of wonder what other inventions he's got. Has he got like an automatic masturbator? Just like a hand on a glove and you just lie there and it unzips the fly. And it, I don't know. I just don't know. You can't tell, can you? Now, here's the thing. The whole show yesterday was supposed to be based on this, and we hardly got round to mentioning it. 08444991000 is the telephone number. But Coronation Street is going to be six episodes a week. Six episodes a week. I stopped watching when it was three. Turns out it's five episodes a week already at the moment. Kevin Ligo, the new head of Channel 4, isn't it funny? The ITV, all these heads of ITV, the last one, Peter Finch, and both of them have been bosses of mine. Wouldn't give me a look in now. Wouldn't give me a look in now. And rightfully so. 08444991000. Coronation Street's cast and crew are in uproar over plans to air six shows a week. An insider said, you know when they say insider, they mean we made this up. An insider said they are too short-staffed and will be, quotes, worked to the bone to fill another 30-minute episode every week. Why are they doing that six nights a week? That's nuts, isn't it? Who's going to watch? Are you going to watch that? Are you going to watch every single one? Yesterday, we revealed how the show would go to six a week from autumn 2017. But star-fierce storylines will be dragged out, and standards on the world's longest-running soap will slip. Steve McDonald's not going to be happy. He's never happy anyway. But he is. I think it's fair to say, 08444991000, I think it's fair to say that Steve McDonald is probably Britain's greatest actor. When you think he's good, he is good, though. He does the comedy when he was married to that woman. Was he with Saran Jones? God, it's so long since I've seen it. He was with Saran Jones and they were funny, weren't they? He's had the tragedy and the drama. He's got it all. Yes, line one.
Yes, why don't you join me? Radio 4's Jimmy Docherty here on the Late Night Show. As I ask the British public the question, why did you vote the way you voted the vote? I've been following 24-year-old student Hannah all day, and I'm going to ask her a few questions as she undresses in her bedroom. Excuse me, love, why don't you turn around and show me your campaign trail? Oh, good Lord, he's a big fellow. Where is he hiding? Oh, no, don't get up. So we'll just draw a line under that conversation. No, please, you don't have to do that. I'll be reporting in an hour's time from Ipswich A&E about the current state of the NHS. Please, stop. You don't have to do this.
Corrie's, thank you for that, by the way. 08444991000. They don't all have to be performances like that, the calls that you're making. You can just phone up and have a chat. A Corrie source said they believe many more casts will need to be hired to cope. I could be in Coronation Street, I think. I'm not. Anyone who saw the sitcom I was in, The Persuasionist, will know I'm not the best actor in the world. But I could do Coronation Street. I could certainly do The Archers. I'd love to be in The Archers. I used to work at the studios where they did The Archers. I was doing a radio show. They got shafted there as well. And I got very excited once because as I was walking down the corridor, I could hear from around the corner booming one of the voices of the Archers as they were on the phone to, I don't know, the dealer probably. But I would love to be in the Archers. They always have, sort of rubbish guest star. I could be a guest star, but I'd like to do it properly. I'd like to go in there as an actor. And Pip could fall in love with me. That's what would happen. Pip would fall in love with me as an older. I would be a lecturer at Pip's college, and she would fall in love with me. But I am principled, and I would say no, this can't happen. It's inappropriate. But it would happen because the physical chemistry and magnetism and love would just defy all the bounds of social convention. So, yes. If they don't get more people in, the existing cast are going to be worked to the bone to fill the extra half an hour. It's the same for the crew. They fear going to an extra episode will bore fans. The thing is, though, it won't bore you. You lot will lap it up, won't you? You'll lap up another episode of Coronation Street. You'll be over the moon with it. You'll say that you're not, but once it starts, you'll lap it up, you lot. 0844 499 1000. 6 episodes a week, 52 weeks a year. Yeah, we know how many weeks there are in a year, mate. Calm down. Leaves no feeling of wanting more. Yes, it does. How many days in a week are there? Huh? 7! And it's not just evenings, there's mornings too. So there's plenty more scope for wanting more. Younger cast members are said to be demanding pay rises for the extra work. That's fair enough. New actors such as Lucy Fallon, no idea, who plays Bethany Platt. Bethany Platt is 20 years old, is she? Flipping heck! That's the young girl's kiddie, who she was like 14 when she had her, wasn't she? Brian Tilsley's daughter. Well, not Brian Tilsley's. Was she Brian Tilsley's, or was she the nurse's daughter? She's Gail's daughter, anyway. Earned 6 times less than veterans such as Bill Roach, 84. Ken Barlow's 84. Strict rules prevent soap actors making adverts. Oh, strict rules preventing soap actors making adverts mean glam stars, including Brooke Vincent, 24, and Kim Marsh. Well, I'm living in a time bubble. Kim Marsh is now 40? I remember when she was like 22 in Hearsay, and Nigel told her to lose some weight. I was thinking, no, don't. Have been forced to turn down lucrative ad contracts. A TV source said everyone thinks the actors are on top dollar, but that's not the case. Corrie newcomers can earn £40,000 a year. Is that all for Corrie? Really? Flipping heck. That's rubbish. I mean, £40,000 a year is a good wage, right? Of course it is. But for being on Corrie, that's rubbish. Which is on a par with Hollyoaks, which has far fewer viewers. Weatherfield's big guns take home £250,000 plus. But the extra workload should mean extra. Go and get real jobs instead of whinging. 0844 499 1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Last 15 minutes of the penultimate Straight to Air for a while. 0844 499 1000. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Globule.
You're right, John. Oh, he's gone. Okay, that's all he wanted. That's fair enough. Line two, you're on the wireless.
I don't feel sorry for actors in Coronation Street. It's newsreaders I feel sorry for.
Pourquoi?
That news, it's 24 hours a day, yeah 7 days a week, 365.
Yeah.
In the last week, they had to go through the night with the old election.
Yeah.
And then, what with all this news happening recently, they've had to come and do extra shifts.
Yeah.
But they don't get paid anymore. But they just get told, sit there, read that, do this, do that, smile, get with it.
Yeah.
That's what I feel sorry for. Coronation Street. Easy. Stand there. Ooh, talking a northern accent. Easy. Could do it, falling off a chair. And that'd probably get more viewers. What do you say to that?
What's your point, caller?
Well, the point is, newsreaders, they don't get any credit.
Well, they
stuff's Coronation Street. Newsreaders, isn't it?
Stuff them.
Yeah, newsreaders. When are you gonna do a topic on, an evening on newsreaders?
What's your name, caller?
I'm not giving my name.
Is this Hugh Edwards?
Damn you!
Thought so. Thank you very much, Hugh. I've told you, you're not allowed to call us. Okay? There is a restraining order. Thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. Here's the thing. I always find... Am I the only person that finds twins creepy? They're weird, aren't they? And I say that kind of respectfully, but not really very respectfully.
My mate, one of my best mates, right, Conan, is an identical twin. I went to college with him. And his identical twin, Scott, is identical. I mean, it's like proper identical to the point where Conan went out one night and we were in his house and there was a knock at the door and it was Conan but in different clothes. But it wasn't him, it was his brother. And it was the first time I met him and it blew my mind. Twins make me very uncomfortable. And I do think... Oh, wait, 444991000. They do have that kind of... I remember once on a breakfast show, the TV show I did, called Rise, and we had the Cheeky Girls on, right? It was when the Cheeky Girls... Well, the Cheeky Girls weren't even a thing then. They'd been a thing. And for some reason, we had them on. And we're like, well, we don't know what to do with them. We didn't know why they'd been booked. So we did a... They were very nice girls. Weird mum. They slept in the same bed. They slept in the same bed. And the girls were lovely, actually, but the mum... Were they Transylvanian? They were, I think. The mum was like the brains behind the thing. And I always got the idea that she was manipulating them. But where are the Cheeky Girls these days? Anyway, so we didn't know what to do with them. So what we decided we would do was we would conduct twin experiments on them. And so we'd show them cards and things and see if the other one... And then, I remember we got one of those fake glass bottles, you know, the ones that are made of sugar, and we smashed it on this Cheeky Girl's head. No wonder no one watched us, although I would watch that as a breakfast show. Anyway, why are you talking about twins, Ian? I'm going to tell you. A nursery class has 5 sets of twins. Flippin' heck. What are they putting in the water? And 4 of the pairs are identical. Staff have asked parents to dress them differently to help tell them apart. Well, you would have to, wouldn't you? Again, that's another weird thing when people dress up twins in the same clothing. What are you doing that for? That's no use to anybody. You're not doing anybody a favour with that. I just don't trust them. Just don't trust them. I always feel that they have a them and us mentality. Well, if it comes to Judgment Day, I say we take the twins down first. Jacob, 4, who attends the nursery at Folkestone, Kent, said he wore red while brother Thomas was always in blue, but added, sometimes we swap and laugh. That's the problem with twins. He's 4, and already he's trying to mess with our minds. It should not be allowed. Pick your favourite one. The other one's got to go and live the other side of the world. That's how it should work, in my book. 0844 499 1000. Hey, here's the thing as well. I'm of an age, right? I'm of an age where, and you kids these days, right? You don't know. You've got global warming, right, is your big thing. When I was growing up in the 80s, it was the hole in the ozone layer. That was the thing. We didn't have this global warming. It was kind of what it was. It was a hole over the North Pole, and the sun would come in, and it wouldn't be able to escape or something like that. And so it would bounce around within the planet, and it would heat the planet up. So we did have global warming, but we didn't call it global warming because that term had yet to be invented. All right. Thank you. So, but the hole in the ozone layer was going to kill us, right? And what had created it was the fact that we were using deodorants, CFCs. So it was deodorants. And it was whipped cream, was killing the planet. And we're like, yeah, sure, whatever. But everyone had to stop, you know, using it. And it was like, well, this is, you know, we're all going to die because of basically. So I'm trying to do a complicated sum while I'm talking to you at the same time. Can you hear my brain is trying to do 2 things and failing miserably at doing the 2 things. Hang on a minute. Let me just do it back. 57:45, 53, let's say 50.
53-20. No, let's say 54-20. Oof, flipping heck. I'll get it wrong. I got it wrong last time with this. 54, 55, 56, 57. That'll do it. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. There we go. We're in. Maths is done. Anyway, the hole in the ozone layer has fixed itself. What? It's fixed itself. Can you believe this? I remember we started a band at school as well called the Demon Axe Warriors from Oblivion. It's taken from a Frank Sidebottom thing. And we had to do a project. Everyone has to do a project about the hole in the ozone layer. And all we did was we just wrote, like, this rubbish protest song and made a stupid video. And we got really good marks because the teacher was teaching us was a numpty. I think then, yeah, that'll do. Okay. Well, the ozone layer is fixing it. It's healing itself. This is unprecedented. The ozone hole over Antarctica will be completely healed by 2050. That's incredible. We were all going to die because of it. And now it's going to be fixed. Thanks to an amazing worldwide effort, scientists have revealed. It has shrunk by more than 1.5 million square miles since its peak in 2000, thanks to the 1989 ban on carbon, hydrogen, chlorine and fluorine compounds in aerosols, fridges and cleaning products. Our fridge has died. I've had to buy a new fridge today. When did fridges get so expensive? Huh? When did they get... I spent £300 on a fridge. And that's a cheap one. That's a reduced one. Aren't we amazed? The US researcher Professor Susan Solomon from Massachusetts Institution of Technology, MIT, is what that's called, said, the things we've done have put the planet on a path to heal. Wowzers. Which is a pretty good thing for us, isn't it? This is her science talk. Is her talking like that? All right, love, calm down, flipping it. Aren't we amazing humans that we decided collectively as a world, let's get rid of these molecules? Well, if we fix that, that means that we can fix the global warming thing if we want to. So we might as well use up loads of carbon fuels again. Have I got that right? Does that science make sense to you? Ah, it kind of does.
secluded in the canyon, lost within a turn of fate. But no, everything lost will be recovered when we drift into the arms of the undiscovered.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.